Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris. We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert advice so you can have a fabulous sex life. You can find a complete podcast archive over at pleasuremechanics.com, where you'll also find a wealth of amazing information.
If we don't say so ourselves.
It's amazing. This is episode 174, and we're going to be taking on a very taboo topic today. Put down your chocolate ice cream, because we're going to be talking about rimming. Analingus, the act of using your mouth to stimulate your partner's anal area. How about that?
We love taboos here.
And we actually get a lot of questions about rimming, because it's a fairly common sex practice. Surveys have studied it in terms of how often gay men do it, but not a lot of sex surveys for heterosexual people include it, which is interesting. But from anecdotal evidence and from the amount of email we get, it's a fairly common sex practice, or at least people are interested and curious about it. So we're going to break it down, why it's pleasurable, how to keep it safe, which is a big topic when it comes to rimming, and how to overcome some of the mental hurdles or embrace the taboo mental hurdles in order to make it sexier. So here we go. Rimming has been around from the beginning of time, right? Like, this is what we know about sex acts. For as long as humans have been copulating, we have been doing pretty much the same array of sex acts. Any combination of human body parts has been explored since the beginning of time, and the ones that feel particularly good tend to stick. And oral anal contact has always been done.
That's a really trippy thought, by the way, that humans throughout time have all been fucking in the same ways.
Thousands of years all around the globe.
It's kind of amazing.
It is amazing. Analingus, the term, was first used by sexologist Richard von Krafft-Ebing, who in 1886, and von Krafft-Ebing was one of the first sexologists, and we've talked about him before. I'm sure we'll talk about him again, because he's considered kind of the granddaddy of sexology, in that he started categorizing and coming up with terms for a lot of sex acts. And this cataloging of sex acts and these terms that have then continued to be used was an important step in the sexology field, because as soon as you assign a term to something, it means it can be studied, you can diagnose someone with a condition once it has a name. And in this case, you could start naming this practice analingus. He spelled it with an I, analingus. We call it analingus with an A now, but most people call it rimming or tossing the salad, which is such a random, I never think of salad when I think of a butthole. But basically the act is licking, using your tongue, using your mouth to stimulate the anal area, either externally and or internally. It can be both. You can tongue fuck someone's butthole. It's funny that, you know, we talk about sex day in and day out, and around this topic we're getting a little giggly.
I feel like a little, I don't know, today I'm just feeling a little like a 12-year-old boy.
Because we're talking about tossing the salad. But I think, you know, we're getting a little giggly. You might be feeling a little squeamish, because there is this huge mental taboo when it comes to thinking about putting your mouth on someone's anal area. And let's just put the white elephant out in the room. It's because of poop, right? Why we feel differently about the anal area versus the genitals, even though they're only a couple inches away, is because poop comes out of the anal area. Specifically, the anus.
Thanks.
Well, I think it has to be named.
No, I know.
Right? Like, that's why we're all a little bit squeamish about it. That's why it's taboo, which means it's more exciting for some people. And it's also why it has specific health risks. So let's just name it, and we'll talk about that throughout this episode. But yeah, a lot of people really fantasize about this. And let's for a second just talk about why it feels good in the first place. Why don't you take that subject?
Okay. The anal area has such a dense concentration of nerve endings that are directly wired into the sexual system. So this is true for men and women. It absolutely makes sense that stimulating this externally or internally is going to feel good. That is just how our bodies are wired and designed. You can use fingers or toys to stimulate the anal area, as we know, but in the case of rimming, you're using your mouth or tongue. And this creates a warm, wet sensation that a lot of people find hot.
Right. Think about the difference between fingering and oral sex, or hand jobs and oral sex. You're stimulating the same nerve endings, but when you do it with your mouth, there's that moistness and the wetness. Moist, a lot of people love that word.
No, a lot of people hate that word, right? Sorry about it.
There's that wetness, but then there's also this added intense intimacy when you think of someone's face right up against your most private area. There's a mental trip there that adds to the arousal for a lot of people. It adds to the vulnerability. And I think this is especially true, like if it's true for oral sex, it's even more true for rimming, because the anus, more than any other part of our body, is considered our most private part, our dirtiest part, our darkest part, the part we keep in the shadow.
And of our butt crack?
Yeah, you know, it's not seen. You know, we right. don't look at it ourselves. Like, we don't look at our genitals very often, but we even more rarely actually look at our anus. We kind of wipe it quickly after we go to the bathroom. We do bare maintenance on it, but we don't have a very public
evolved relationship with yes. our anus. Yeah.
And so I think that adds to the emotional charge of it. And for a lot of people, that takes it even to a more arousing place. For some people, it makes it very scary. And so if your partner proposes rimming, it might be totally off the table for you, something you never want to try, or it might be in that tantalizing zone of kind of taboo and scary, but also exciting and thrilling. So here's what you need to know if you want to try it, right? If you never want to try it, that's fine. Just listening to this podcast will inform you, and it's always good to be informed and be educated about sex acts that you might never even want to do, but you're a more educated and intelligent sexual being because you've listened to this podcast. But if you do want to try it, here we go.
Like all sex acts, rimming has risk, but that can be reduced through hygiene and safer sex practices.
So the primary risks of rimming are parasites, which are transmitted through contact with feces, and then sexually transmitted infections. These infections are the common ones, like hepatitis A and B and C, the human papillomavirus, HPV, herpes, and things like gonorrhea, etc.
Chlamydia.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll spare you the full list, but those are diseases that can be transmitted through any kinds or any combination of different sex acts. And so those are the ones that you have to protect yourself from no matter what you're doing. And the parasites aren't super common, but if you get them, they're very uncomfortable. They are treated. But that's the specific risk that comes with rimming, is coming into contact even with trace amounts. We're going to talk about how to reduce the amount, but even trace amounts of feces can transmit fecal parasites into your gastrointestinal tract, which is not pleasant.
You can get rid of it.
Yes. Treatable, not fun. So let's talk about minimizing the risks.
You want to wash the area incredibly well before you engage in rimming. Use soap and water to wash the entire anal area thoroughly.
External anal area, we should say there.
Yeah.
Because you never want to put anything inside your rectum other than plain water. So you can buy a little bulb enema or a disposable kit, throw out the solution they give you, and just use plain warm water to flush your rectal area over and over again until it comes out clean. And on the podcast page for this episode, we're going to link to a lot of information about this, so you don't have to jot this all down, especially if you're driving. So you want to flush out the area until the water comes out clean, and that'll tell you that there's not a load of shit in the rectum waiting to come out. You're clean. For added safety, you can use a barrier between the mouth and the anus. You can cut a condom up the side and use that latex barrier. You can get dental dams, or you can even use things like Saran wrap, which are not cleared by the FDA, but it is a barrier better than nothing. Of course, you never want to perform rimming if there are sores or cuts on the butt or on the mouth of the giver or active hemorrhoids on the butt. And this is the big one. You don't want to move from the anus to the genitals. And this is true for men and women, more true for women, but all people. If you're going to lick both, lick the genitals first and then go to the ass, but don't go back and forth because, again, you're spreading bacteria from the anus to the genital area, which can create infections, and those are not fun. So, given all of that, how do you make rimming the most pleasurable? Well, again, Charlotte, I defer to you for the pleasure section of this.
You're so kind. So you can obviously do rimming just on its own, or you can combine it with other sex acts. And we often recommend when you're doing anything anal and you're new to anal of any variety, do include some genital play as well so that your body can really integrate the pleasure of the anus and process it as pleasurable and erotic instead of just functional.
For most people, anal feels better if you're already aroused through genital stimulation. That's what we hear. And no. Okay. So, yes, you want to raise your arousal first and then add in the anal area.
So, as we talked about, rimming and oral sex is a great combination, but you do want to start with the oral sex part and then go on with your rimming, but don't go back to the genitals, as we've already said.
Work your way backwards. Genitals, perineum, anal area. Nice little sequence.
Chillax there for a while.
I'm chillaxing while I'm rimming you. Just laying back, chillaxing with my tongue in your anus. How I like to relax.
Okay. It's my staycation.
Charlotte is cracking up over there.
Okay. I don't know. Whew.
And then There's rimming plus hands, manual stimulation. And this is a beautiful combination. We love the combination of hands and mouth in general. But if you are rimming, you can then be continuing to stimulate their genitals with your hands, one or both.
The awesome thing about this is then you are you're using your hands and your mouth to stimulate the entire sexual system at once. Because remember, it's all combined. The ass, the genitals, it's all one big, beautiful, magical, marvelous system. So the more that you can stimulate...
Oh my god, you are a 12-year-old boy right now.
The more you can stimulate all of it, the better.
Take a deep breath. And the person receiving the rimming can also use their own hands to get in on the fun. So you have a mouth, four hands available to you. Keep that action going. There's a great name for when you are doing rimming and reach around and giving a hand job. It's called the rusty trombone. And we are proposing for the female equivalent, if you're rimming and doing beautiful fingering techniques, perhaps that should be called the French horn.
Love it.
I hope that sticks. Start using it, folks. So that's the deal on rimming. Is there anything else you want to say?
There can be great pleasure with this act. Just be mindful of the risks involved.
Yeah, and if the taboo gets you off, then embrace it. And if it is a barrier, then inform yourself. Recognize that this is just on the sexual continuum with oral sex. It's just another way of stimulating your partner. And if overcoming that taboo makes it more available to you, then great. So whatever makes you more aroused by the act.
But know that there's nothing inherently dirty about this act, right? Like, we use that word, but it is part of the body. It's totally reasonable and normal and safe to explore.
Right, the whole one-way hole thing. We vomit out of our mouths, and yet we still kiss and eroticize the mouth without thinking about vomit every time.
Yeah, we bleed out of our vaginas. We push babies out of them. We still fuck them like crazy. So this is, like, the most stupid argument.
It's stupid.
So do you.
So we hope that this has cleared up some information for you and given you permission to explore this if it's something you want to do. If you have any more questions about rimming, definitely get in touch with us. And if you are interested in anal play and mastering the skills of making anal eroticism part of your sex life, which we highly recommend because it adds whole new layers of arousal for both men and women, check out our online mastery courses. For women, we have anal sex mastery, and for men, we have prostate massage mastery. And both of those courses are online, multimedia courses that are going to give you all the skills to make anal play super pleasurable, 100% pain-free, and part of your sexual repertoire. You can get them at pleasuremechanics.com. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the course of your choice. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.